2007, and we will begin today. Apologize for starting late. These are all work sessions, so if there are questions to anyone, and if they're of limited duration, because I have some people here that can only be here a short period of time, we can do questions, but not public testimony. So I'm going to start off with a work session on SB 235.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have at your place a packet with a paper clip that has a copy of the Dash A-10 amendments, an SMS for the A-10 amendments, and a fiscal impact statement for the A-10 amendments. Well, I would note that the bill came in the A and growth version with a rather large fiscal impact for promulgating rules and implementing regulation of agricultural animal feeding operations. The amendments reduce the requirement for rules, still leave in place the provisions that the Department of Environmental Quality and Department of Agriculture will work on a memorandum of understanding for the regulation of air quality and on agricultural operations, removes the exemption from the state's agricultural air quality or air quality rules exempting agricultural operations, and also creates a task force on dairy air. And you'll see the dairy air task force.
That should be on the agenda table.
And you'll see in your amendments the various functions that the Dairy Air Task Force is will be taking out. I would also note that the fiscal impact is non-fiscal, primarily because the Department of Environmental Quality and the Department of Agriculture are tasked with staffing the task force, and both have said they can do it within their existing resources. And I would note also that the A-10s are the product of a work group that's been working on a long time on some compromise to the regulation of agricultural operations through the air quality program.
Okay. To start off our discussion, and we have a motion on the Dash 10s that are on the table.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 10s to Senate Bill 235, the A-10s.
Okay. The Dash 10 amendments have been moved to Senate Bill 235A. Any questions or discussions? I know that Senator Vakian and his staff have been working on this. Is there anything you'd want to add? Or
I was going to make some comments. I was just going to do it on the main bill.
Okay.
When we got there.
Any additional questions on the Dash 10s? Any objections to the Dash 10s? Motion passes. Can we have a main motion?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 235 as amended with the 235A as amended with the Dash 10s to the full ways and means with the two-pass recommendation.
Okay. The Dash 10s, or the 235A as amended, has been moved to the full ways and means committee with the due pass recommendations. Discussion. Senator Vakian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The I didn't realize, and I'm not saying that we should do something differently, but that we were going to only do a work session. I think some folks came today hoping they could make some comments because of the amount of work that has gone into this bill over the last several months. So I'll do the best I can to at least put a few things on the record that I think reflect, you know, what people think. There's been a very I don't know that everybody expected it back in February or whenever it is we passed this out of the substantive committee. It's been a very, very difficult issue for a lot of people to struggle through, and it's a bill of great importance to several of our state agencies, both in their efforts to manage clean air and also to keep secured federal funding coming in that relates to the effort. So I'm very glad we're passing the bill. It also was a very important bill to a number of both environmental groups and coalitions of small family farms that neighbor large industrial farms who would like to see tighter standards than what the federal law requires. And they put forth a huge effort to try and instill some stronger standards. The compromise is the task force that we have, and most people are on board with that task force. Some of the groups still are very strong advocates and would like to have seen a bolder step by the state in controlling emissions. And not just in us controlling the emissions, but controlling them not only with large dairy operations, but with other types of operations that have emissions. And I am hoping, but the one thing that I think has been very positive is all of these various camps have met together, had productive discussions for several months now, the kind of discussions that did not occur in times past on these issues. And I am just very hopeful that the task force is just a first step towards including all of the things that I just mentioned that are not included in the task force right now eventually, and that we do have a much broader discussion about agricultural clean air in these communities. I think the agencies are ready to have those kinds of discussions, and I think all of the people that were so-called stakeholders are very, very interested in pursuing it. So it's my hope it's just a first step.
Any additional comments,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
On the dairy air bill, there has been a federal study. The Three Mile Farm is in my district, and there were some workers' complaints about certain toxic chemicals or whatever. So there was actually a federal OSHA study that has been conducted. And the federal OSHA study came back and said basically, well, the big problem you have here is dust. Every housewife in Eastern Oregon will tell you the same thing. There's nothing but a big pile of dust out here. That whatever the emissions are there within the federal standards, and I know Senator Markey is just do we make those things tougher? Do we make them easier? And to me, there's a balance there. And it's not as though this problem has gone unnoticed in the past. And there has been government studies at the federal level on this issue. So just for the record and for the committee's information.
Yes, Representative Dingfeld.
Mr. Chair, well, I just wanted to thank the Senator Buckingham for his hard work on this bill. The bill did not make it over to the House Policy Committee, and I know that he spent quite a bit of time working on it over in the Senate, which I appreciate. I am looking forward to hearing the report that comes out of the DEQ and Department of Agriculture jointly, and I see that they will report to us no later than October 1st, 2008, so hopefully we'll be around to hear that. And I do, and I have heard from not only my constituents, but folks in the gorge who do have concerns about air quality, in particular with CAFOs. And I think that we certainly need to have a little more information about the impacts. And we have federal studies, but we don't have work that's done specifically in targeted areas of the state. So I think that this is important. We need to have that information, and looking forward to hearing that and see if we need to move on with next steps, because I think there was many concerns that I heard, not directly in the committee, but certainly listening to the testimony that you heard, that that there is a problem, and I think we need to see what we can do at the state level to address some of those concerns that I've heard and I know you heard in your committee. Thank you.
Any additional discussion?
Brian looks like he's ready.
Okay. I'm doing reconnaissance. Okay. There is a motion on the table send Senate Bill 235A as amended to the full committee with due pass recommendation. We've had discussion. Any objections to the motion? Seeing no objections, motion passes. Senator Avakian, will you carry to the Senate? Representative Dingfelter, carry to the House. Senator Nelson, would you be okay with this?
Sure.
Okay. To the poll. We will now open. We will. Should I do? He's got to be out in 10 minutes. Should I do him first?
Or? Yeah.
Okay.
He's part of it.
Told you would make it. Anything I can do for you? Just let me know.
Yeah. Things not good.
you don't want to get it. So you need to have your own 2015 through 2066.
Well, I'm going to lose my phone. That's
my way. Then you need to just call
Kendra?
Yeah.
If you had something in writing that you wanted, I'll make sure it gets included in the record at least, because I know you wanted to say something.
Okay. We'll come back to order. I will open a work session on House Bill 2115. Mr. Bender has a portion of the presentation, and Ms. Jordan, the rest of it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House Bill 2115 deals with the Forest Products Harvest Tax, a tax which is levied at a rate per 1,000 board feet of merchantable forest products that are harvested. The current rate of the tax is $2.61 per 1,000 board feet. The tax is actually imposed in four components that have four separate recipients of the funding. Two of these components are permanent in law. The other two components are approved each session on a two-year basis and sunset after 2 years. The House Bill 2115 is a bill that would extend the sunset of the two portions of the Forest Products Harvest Tax that are set to sunset on December 31st, 2007. At the end of this calendar year. Those two portions are the following. There's a portion of the tax that goes to support the Forest Research Laboratory at Oregon State University. And for the current biennium, this tax is being levied at a rate of 67 cents per 1,000 board feet of harvest. The other portion of the tax that will be sunsetting is the portion of the tax that goes to the Department of Forestry to support administration of the Oregon Forest Products Practices Act. Excuse me. The current rate of that tax is 55 cents.
Have the dash numbers?
They're attached.
Oh, okay. The proposal that you're being asked to approve are to extend these are within the dash two amendments. These would extend these two taxes for an additional 2 years through the 2008 and 2009 calendar year and would increase both rates. The rate for the Forest Research Lab would increase from 67 cents per 1,000 board feet to 92 cents per 1,000 board feet. The rate for the Department of Forestry for their administration of the Forest Practices Act would increase from 55 cents to $1.1456 per 1,000 board feet. These rates, by the way, are Ms. Jordan will be discussing the second rate. I'm here because I'm the budget analyst for higher ed, and the Forest Research Laboratory is part of Oregon State University. The increase from 67 cents to 92 cents is supported by the governor. I believe you have a letter before you. If you don't, I can distribute it to you from Michael Carrier of the governor's office, indicating their support of an increase in the rate from 62 cents from 67 cents to 92 cents. However, the budget that the Education Subcommittee passed for the Department of Higher Education does not include expenditure authority to expend the additional rate of tax. If you approve this increase, then the committee would have to consider increasing the expenditure limitation for higher ed in another bill.
Questions? Yes, Representative Burley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment for the committee members' benefit that the 67 to 92 cents per 1,000 feet tax that goes to the Forest Research Laboratory, it has always, and this is in the context of our discussion last Saturday over the Department of Forestry's budget, and the question about how much landowners are actually contributing to this whole equation. The landowners have always maintained, and this has never been set in statute, but this is basically a 50-50 cost share. They've always maintained that whatever general funds are appropriated for OSU's Forest Research Laboratory, they'll match it with their harvest tax. And And that's what they're doing here with this amendment today. And I think we'll hear testimony later from OFIC that would substantiate this. In Section 3, or Subsection 3, the Forest Practices Act tax, that's a 60-40, which, as you can see, is set in statute. But, again, it just shows that the landowners are indeed stepping up and paying their fair share of these costs.
Ms. Jordan, do you want to do your portion of the presentation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The forest harvest tax rate for the Department of Forestry reflects the budget that was passed out of this subcommittee. You'll note from the staff measure summary there's a little bit of history around that rate. In 2003-05, the legislature adopted 67 cents per 1,000 board feet, and then 79 cents per 1,000 board feet for administration for the forest, and then in 03-05, it was reduced. 05-07, it was reduced. I'm reading two different rates here, but it has been going down progressively the last three biennia, and part of this rate is to reestablish the reserves that have been depleted as a result of reducing the rates and continuing some of that service, in addition to the increases that the subcommittee has made in the rate. It's my understanding that the industry does support this increase in rates.
Just to get it on the table, can we have a motion on the -2 amendments?
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the -2 amendments to House Bill 2115A.
The -2 amendments to 2115 have been moved. Discussion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I need to also, again, declare a potential conflict of interest in the fact that my consulting firm has clients that do business with the Oregon Department of Forestry.
And for the record, Mr. Wilkerson, would you come forward and indicate OFIC's position on these rate changes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity. Ray Wilkerson, Oregon Forest Industries Council. Representative Burley accurately described our position on this. We've been working with both the Forestry Department and OSU for months now on coming to understanding of the needs of both programs going forward for the next 2 years, and we do support the -2 amendments to this bill.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any additional discussion on the -2 amendments? Any objections to the -2 amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll be objecting to this today simply because there's four bills that collectively make up the Department of Forestry's budget. This is one of them. House Bill 3044 was another one that we already passed out of the House. And had I known that we were going to have this whole discussion about the cost shifting in the budget bill, I wouldn't have supported 3044 at the time. So I'll be objecting to this amendment and to this measure.
Representative Garrard.
Just due to my natural adversity to taxes, I'll be voting no.
Okay. We will then have to wait for the co-chair to come back.
Mr. Chair, since my colleague declared a potential conflict of interest, I work for a private consulting firm who also does work for clients that may pay the harvest tax. Could be affected by this increase.
Mr. Chair, question. When this gets to the House floor, it takes a two-thirds vote?
This one, not two-thirds. I would believe it would take 18. Or take 36, not 18. Different world.
Yes. Three-fifths.
Three-fifths. Yeah. Four was.
Okay. Okay.
There's a motion to adopt the amendment.
There's a motion to adopt the amendment to 2115. Could you call the roll?
Yes, I can. Representative Klim.
No.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Garrard.
Yeah. Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Dickfelder?
Yes.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Vakian?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye. Okay, motion passes. A motion to the full committee.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2115A as amended with the dash twos move to the full Ways and Means Committee with a D-pass recommendation.
Okay. It's been moved to move 2115A as amended to the full committee with a D-pass recommendation. Any additional discussion? Would you please call the roll again?
Representative Clem?
Yes.
Representative Burley?
No.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Dinkfelder?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Vakian?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Okay, we will go on to our final bill.
May I have a carrier?
Yes. 2115, I will carry to the full. Representative Clem, would you like to carry to the floor?
Sure.
Okay.
And take the other one. Senator Vakian, would you carry to the floor?
Sure.
And we will open up a work session on House Bill 2067. Ms. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2067 extends the July 1st, 2009, the current system under which forest landowners and the state share the cost of fighting large wildflowers.
Derriers and wildflowers.
Well, those two.
Well, at least those wildflower fires are colorful.
Yeah. On lands protected by the Department of Forestry, it specifies that landowner or operator is liable for fire abatement costs or penalties if they fail to obtain a permit for use of fire or power-driven machinery, and adds the term emergency in describing fire costs. Prior to 2003, the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund provided the first $10 million of emergency firefighting costs. In 2003, the Legislative Assembly enacted a temporary increase to $15 million with landowner expenditures for fighting large wildfires and purchasing catastrophic fire insurance. In 2005, the Legislative Assembly created the current system that we are, whereby forest landowners agreed on a two-year renewal basis to extend the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund expenditure limit from $10 to $15 million. So this measure continues that practice. If fire costs exceed this amount, the general fund provides up to the next $10 million in costs. An insurance policy with a $25 million deductible provides $25 million in coverage beyond that.
Yes, there's no amendments to the bill.
There are no amendments. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2067 to the full Ways and Means with a D-pass recommendation.
Any additional discussion? Yes, Representative Clem, Representative Burley.
One thing that I actually, after our Saturday conversation, I wanted to establish, I think this is the right time to do it. When we talk about 50-50 cost share on fires, that's sort of worst-case exposure. That's not what actually always happens. That's if things go all the way up, then they might be to 50-50, is my understanding. What I would like to know is how much did the private owners actually pay? Was it 50-50 in 05 fire sort of season, or 05-07, or was it actually 100% of the entire cost because we never got over $15
million? Mr. Chair and Representative Clem, it's not 50-50 all the way up the line. It is there is a base fire protection program where fire suppression is paid at 50-50. Landowners pay 50% and the general fund pays 50%. Then beyond that, when you get into an emergency fire situation, then we start moving into the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. And that first $15 million then is paid all by landowners. And depending upon the fire season, it may get to the limit or it may not. Beyond that $15 million, then the general fund now, since last biennium, pays the next $10 million, and then our insurance policy pays the rest. Before that, the insurance policy would have picked it up.
all of. My understanding is that last biennium we never got over that second 15 million. So if you really looked at the percentages paid, whatever the first chunk is, the base fire protection was 50-50, then the next, I think it was 13.7 million, was actually 100% private landowner, zero state. So then if you look overall, it wasn't 50-50, it was probably 75-25 or something, which really feeds into this discussion of Saturday about overall cost, because we're setting, if everything went horribly, then you might have a 50-50 cost share once the state comes back in for another, you know, 10 or 15 or more. It could even go higher, and I guess the state would pay all of it. But I think I just want to make sure everyone in the world is clear that it's not 50-50 on every single program, and sometimes it works out for the private landowners to be a ton compared to what the state does. Yeah, depending on the fire year.
Any additional discussion? Representative Berlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I declare a potential conflict of interest. My firm has clients that do business with the Department of Forestry. And then secondly, if I'd like to follow up on Representative Clem's questions and the comments thereafter, I think Ms. Jordan explained it pretty well. The issue with the budget that we discussed on Saturday is that base cost, that's the 50-50 formula. This part is, as she said, the emergency firefighting above that. Now, without this bill, the landowner's obligation is $10 million. With this bill, the landowner's obligation is $15 million. So given that this bill has been enacted for the last 2 years, the landowners actually have paid $5 million more than they would have had it stayed at the $10 million. Now, again, the landowners agreed to this. They're more than happy to pay their share. This bill, 2067, goes hand in hand with the budget bill that we passed. This arrangement came out of the Budget Note 3 work group in 2004, the same work group and the same agreement that dealt with the cost share debate that we had on Saturday. So the point is that, again, there's four bills here collectively that make up this package. And if we start messing with one of them, as we did with the forest budget, then, in my opinion, we're messing with all of them. So, again, based on that, Mr. Chair, I'm going to object to 2067 today.
Any additional comment? Call the roll.
We have a motion. Okay, I made a motion. Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Burley?
No.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Dingfelder?
Yes.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Avakian?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. I'll carry it to full I'll carry to the Senate floor, and Representative Clem will carry to the House floor. Committee, I actually do not know if we have any more bills coming to us. We've not been officially notified of closure. When I talked to the other co-chair yesterday, he said there might be a possibility, but he did not know. But I would anticipate that tomorrow will be our last day. So I would keep an eye on the board to see what might pop up on the board. We might have one or two more bills tomorrow, or we may not.
I think there's a pretty good chance that we will.
Okay. Can I give another caveat? We might have one or two more bills that may have nothing to do with... Some may have something to do with natural resources. Some may have nothing to do with natural resources.
Nothing.
Well,
maybe tangential.
A human services bill. It might be a stretch. With that, we are adjourned.